Let's pray. Jesus, you don't need clever stories from me or from Bob. I pray that you would come and teach this morning. And I pray that you would change our hearts, show us how to follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's two types of gifts that people can give you. And we're all really familiar with the type of gifts in the top left that happen at birthdays or Christmas, where someone gives you a package and your role is to unwrap it and you get a new pair of pants or you get some gadget for your kitchen or some little toy that lights up. And that's a gift that we're all real used to. They're real easy to get. And typically they don't last very long and they don't have that big of an impact on us. Nothing wrong with them. They're good. They're fun. But there's another type of gift that I think is a lot greater. And one of the times I got one of those is bottom right here. It's Matt in the left and me in the blue. And that was back in 2007. Matt and I were living down in Mexico together for about 10 weeks. And Matt showed me how to build a really simple house down in Mexico. He showed me just the ins and outs every step along the way. Now, that took 10 weeks of Matt having a lot of patience with me because I'm not the quickest learner on stuff like that. It took a lot of Matt telling me stuff to do and me not understanding it and just trying to do it as best I could and letting Matt correct me when I got things wrong. So it took a lot of time and wisdom on Matt's part, but it also took time and humbleness on my part. But what he gave me was this gift. And even last night, Chrissy and I were doing a little remodeling in our house and we were changing out some outlets. And like that's something that Matt taught me to do. Like that's the reason that I know how to do that. And so there's these little, it's a gift that keeps with me because it was a gift that changed me. It wasn't something I could wear. It wasn't something I could put on my wrist. It was something he put inside of me. So when you see these two gifts, I think the one on the bottom right is much greater when someone gives you the gift of something inside of you. But it also takes more from us. It's a little harder than unwrapping paper. It takes that humbleness and that time on our part. So today we're going to be talking about a really spectacular gift that God wants to put in each one of us. And it's like that gift on the bottom right. It's going to change who we are. And I'm not going to make you guys wait for it. I got in trouble as like a 3 or 4 year old for I got into my parents' closet and opened up a bunch of Christmas gifts. So I'm not going to make you guys wait on what is this gift going to be. So this gift is Jesus says, I want you on the inside to be like God the Father is on the inside. I mean, that's way bigger gift than was on our Christmas list. And that's way more than we would ask for. Most of us say, like, I just want to be a little bit better person. But Jesus says, I want you to be full of joy and perseverance. I want you to be full of peace. I want you to be full of forgiveness, of mercy. I want you to be full of love. We think, oh, wow, yeah. If I could get that, I would like that. And I don't know if it'll take just 10 weeks like it took Matt to teach me how to build those houses. It's a pretty big thing to give us. But today, if you'll follow with us, if you'll do what Jesus is going to talk to us about here, you can get it. And a lot of us, when we hear the idea of peace or joy, we hear all these nice things, we think, oh yeah, well, if I get to there, you know, I probably need to have my life pretty easy, and then I can be at ease. But Jesus says the pathway to get to that sort of inside condition is actually through conflict. Most of us think, well, I'm in the midst of conflict. I've got anything except peace or anything except joy. I'm stressed and angry and prideful. Jesus has kind of a different take on it. But Bob, talk to us about conflict. Why is conflict such a pain for us most of the time?
Well, let's just talk about it. And I'm just going to list a few things really quick. Jake and I were talking on Monday about conflict, and I went to Dr. Google, and I said, what do you find out about conflict? And I found out this little interesting fact. Our employees in companies spend about almost 3 hours a week dealing with conflict. And if everybody got $17.95 an hour, that would add up to $359 billion a year, or the equivalent of 385 million working days. So conflict is expensive in businesses, and they work a whole lot about it. And if we think about it, most all of us, if you say, what do I least like about my job, it would be you could name somebody or some situation that makes life tough, right? So we have conflict at work, and we have conflict at home. And so let's just zip through this really quick. Little kids, I know that guy down the right-hand corner. Attention-seeking behavior, mess, lack of gratitude, feeling ignored. Those are things that we have to deal with. And how do you deal with them? That's the conflict in the home. You can go from kids to teenagers. And here are the top five things with teenagers that we have to deal with: emotion, cooperation, authority, values, and so on. So those are things. Again, when that's present, what do you have? I don't have to tell you all about it. You know about it, right? So let's get with husbands and wives. They're the top five there: money, sex, work, children, and chores. And, y'all are laughing, I know. But we all know. And I'm preaching a sermon, and Tony, y'all don't talk to Tony today, all right? I was a bad guy last week. And I gave her lots of ample opportunities to deal with conflict from my end, all right? So, just the truth. So Jake is going to rescue me, and he's going to go to what Jesus has to say about conflict. And you need to hear, do not miss this, please. What the Lord does with conflict in our lives, as he teaches us, is he gives us a chance to have our inside condition changed. And the only reason why he allows it to happen, and some of the things we're going to read, is so that we can become like him. God wants to love us like Jesus loves the Father, and the Father loves Jesus, okay? But we can't have that love relationship until we become like him. That's why he puts these in these situations, all right? So, Jake, why don't you take us through some stuff?
Yeah, so we're about to read words straight out of Jesus' mouth, and it's the heart of his message. It's a really big message that he shares a lot. Before we get to that, I want us each to take a second. We've got the time this morning. Take a moment and think to yourself, what is my attitude towards Jesus right now? Is my attitude towards Jesus like, oh man, I don't have very much time for you? Or is my attitude towards Jesus like this guy who's just on his knees basically saying, like, I don't have the answers. I'm going to do it whatever way you tell me to do it, Jesus. Because it's very easy to sit in church and say, like, oh, yep, that's the right way to do it. And then we're about to read a passage that is not easy to put into play at all. So do you have this attitude? Because most of us came in here today and we had our whole day probably already thought through, and we probably know we're going to be busy all week, and we're working on a lot of our own plans. And our hopes and dreams probably don't end the way this passage is going to end, where Jesus says, I want you to do all these things so you can get an inside condition like God's inside condition. And Jesus says, I want to work your whole life out to where I change you and make you more like me. And if you don't have this attitude at the start of Jesus, I'll do it your way, then you're not going to get far with Jesus. So Bob and I cut some stuff out of the sermon. We wanted to respect your guys' time. I want us to take just a second, though, and let you say to yourself, am I submitting to Jesus? It's important for us to face that over and over and over again, because we as humans, we like to just take the wheel and drive ourselves. So here's what Jesus has to say to us. Not easy. He says, but to you who are listening, and hopefully that's all of us now in the room, we're listening, we're saying, Jesus, we want to obey. Here's what he says: love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Right off the bat, I got to wake us up, because we're all in a church, and a lot of us are pretty nice people, and I've heard a lot of church people say, well, I don't have any enemies. I don't know how many times I've sat in Bible studies and said, okay, so how are you going to love your enemies this week? Number one answer right here: I don't have any enemies. Really? Like, Jesus had a lot of enemies, so I guess I don't know what you're doing differently than Jesus, but like, if you're thinking that's the right answer, like, I don't have any enemies, like, that's not the right answer. If you don't have any enemies, then I got to ask, are you going anywhere? Because enemy just means somebody that's pushing against the good thing you're trying to do. And if you're trying to out there in the world trying to do good things for Jesus, you're going to bump into people who are trying to stop you. Just calling them an enemy doesn't mean you're a jerk, but just realizing in your own heart, hey, this person is hard for me. They're against, it's not easy to be around them. They're opposed to me being, doing the things that I want to be doing. So you have enemies, whether you've admitted that to yourself or not. There's enemies in your life. There's people who say things to you that make you mad. There's people that do things that get under your skin. There's people who don't treat you right. What does Jesus say to do? Most of us think Jesus said, don't be a jerk. I think that's how most of us live our life. I just need to not be a jerk. And we go in and somebody says something dirty to us sideways, and we go, and then we don't say anything, we walk away, and we think, I'm such a good Christian. Like, I didn't tell that guy off. And like, maybe that's kind of a nice person, like you're not a jerk, but you didn't do what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, love your enemies, and he's not going to talk about any feelings in anything we say today. There's no feelings at all. It's all action-based. He says, love them, and what does he mean by love? He says, do good to those who hate you. He says, do something for them. So if somebody does something mean to you, it's not enough to just hold it all back. You got to actually do something for them if you're going to be obedient to God. And if you've ever experimented with this, and I challenge you this week, experiment with it. See what it does to your heart. When someone does something bad to you and you hold it in and don't do anything back, it kind of just builds a little bit. It kind of just, you still feel upset. When someone does something bad to you and you go to God and say, like, I'm going to submit to you, God, and I'm going to go bake that jerk cookies or something, you know, and like, I'm going to go do something good for this person who's mean. This guy who just undercut me in front of the boss, just made me look like an idiot, I'm going to go pick up materials for him so he can get started on his job faster. Because that's a loving thing to do. And he's the last person in the world I want to do it for, so he's probably the one Jesus wants me to do it for. When you do something like that for an enemy, you walk away feeling different. You walk away a different person. And it's not this build of anger. It's this, strangely, you feel like you have some more control in the situation, and you feel just more like Jesus. I don't really know how to describe that feeling, but you can each have it this week if you'll do this sort of stuff. So we're going to go on to some of these other verses. He says, bless those who curse you. Again, he doesn't talk about emotions. He talks about action. Someone says something the other day, somebody cursed me when I was driving, like yelled out the window at me, like a bunch of words I can't say on the stage. And honestly, like I just smiled at that and drove away, but I don't know what exactly I should have said, but Jesus wants us to do some sort of blessing, or at least some sort of praying for them, some sort of action for them. Verse 29, he says, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Have you ever read something from Jesus and you tried to put it into practice and it got you into like a mess and you got all confused about like, I don't even know how I'm supposed to live this out. I don't even know how this is healthy, Jesus, to be living like this. If you start trying to follow Luke chapter 6, you're going to have those moments where you're wrestling with God in prayer. That's a good sign.
It works,
yeah.
Jake.
Yeah.
All right. So we all have people we don't like, right? I mean, just to be honest. And I've been known to tell God, I really don't like this guy, but you told me to pray for my enemies, so I'm going to do it. All right, and it frees you, and so that is one. In the early service, it just thought popped in my head, and I'll share it here too. I had a guy in Louisiana who was taking Quaaludes and drinking, and that's not a good combination. And he really felt guilty, I think, about that, and wanted to get me into a fight. And so I went out from the church on a Sunday night and talked to him, and he said, "I want to know if the devil's stronger than God." And I said, "Great." And so he tried to get me to fight, and I wouldn't do it, so he hit me. And he was a big guy, he's bigger than I am. And he hit me, and it does not feel good to be hit by a big guy. And, or I guess a little guy either for that matter. And so he says, "You're not going to fight me?" I said, "No." And at that time, one of my teenagers came out, and I said, "Why don't you ask all the men in the church to come out here?" And so we had, you know, it wasn't a big church, but we had enough. And that's not fair, he said. And I said, "No, that's right." But at any rate, we didn't go any further. I was so thankful. I had a couple of my guys who really wanted to defend me, and they tried to find him, and I'm so glad they did not find him. But long story short is he ended up having a wreck. He didn't stop drinking and drugging. He had a wreck and broke his pelvis and really got hurt. Went to the hospital, visited with him, prayed with him. Lived in New York, and he traveled back to New York, and we shipped all of his belongings back to New York. So the long story was is not too long after that, about 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months, he called me up. And he said, "I just want to tell you that I've got my life right with God. I'm now working in the bus ministry of this church, and I wanted you to know that." Now, if I had not turned the other cheek, where would that have gone? First of all, I'd really gotten beat up. That would have happened. But the other thing that would have happened would have been I would never have had a chance to pray with him and to serve him and to help him, and then to get that phone call later that Jesus had worked in his life. It really does work. It is extremely hard. I'm looking at the biggest group of tough guys in any church in Kansas City right now. And you all, I know being disrespected is the most difficult thing in the world. And it is extremely hard to look like you're soft when you're really not soft. You're really being strong. But this is the stuff that changes our heart. And this dealing with this and working, it is not simple. It's easy to preach the sermon. It's really hard to live out. But doing that is what makes the difference. If you step back and say, "All right, boy, I'll tell you what, I'd like to smash you, but instead I'm going to pray for you." And working that out. So I just wanted to stop and stick a little in on that.
Well, did you notice in Bob's story, like he went to the hospital and visited this guy. He helped move this guy's stuff. So it's not just to pray like, "Oh, man, help that Tim realize what a jerk he is." Like, that's not the type of praying that we're talking about. It's just acting it out that changes other people, but it also changes us. When Jesus says, "I want, you know, if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross and follow me," what does that actually look like? A lot of times it looks like, okay, I'm not going to do the thing I really want to do. I'm going to do the thing Jesus wants me to do, and it feels like it's killing me on the inside to not stand up for myself. But when you go through that stuff, you don't come out the other side the same. Even if the other person doesn't change, you change. So we're going to keep reading. Verse 30 of chapter 6, and Luke says, "Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back." You start really trying to live this stuff out, you get confused. And that's okay place to be at, to be asking Jesus, "What should I do? What should I not do? I want to obey you." Do to others as you would have them do to you. It's a golden rule. A lot of religions, even old religions that were around in Jesus' day, had something kind of like this. But a lot of other philosophies will say things like, don't do to others what you wouldn't want them to do to you. It's kind of this negative. It's this idea of keep your side of the fence clean type of thing. Jesus takes it a lot further and says we're supposed to be actively doing what we would like other people to do for us. Even just as simply as somebody told me the other day, when you see strangers, you should be the one to warmly greet them and then see how they respond. So I've been trying that, ride my bike around, I see a lot of people walking and stuff. Well, I've noticed on the bike is if I make eye contact with people, no one ever says hi. Like, no one says hi to anybody, I feel like, in Independence, if you're just walking around. If I say good morning to somebody, people almost always say good morning back. Jesus wants us to be the first ones to act. Don't wait till people treat you well. Treat people as well as you'd like everybody else to treat everybody. Treat people that way. And then whatever, however they respond, you can't control, okay? Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. This is where Most of us just do that. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. We read those verses, it shakes us up because most of the stuff we pat ourselves on the shoulder about isn't really a big deal to Jesus. Most of the time we're doing something nice for somebody who's going to do something nice for us in the future, and we're just buddied up with people. We think, isn't it so great? I threw that surprise birthday party for my friend who's going to then throw a surprise birthday party for me later in the year. And it's just, Jesus is like, great, I'm glad you guys are having fun, but you're not, you know, you're not doing what I'm talking about here.
Jake, you know that Al Capone was really good to his family and his close associates, but I don't know that he followed this verse. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he was good to the people that could never bless him back. That's illustration of your story. Yeah, so exactly. Whose side do you want to be on? Do you want to join with Al Capone or William Booth?
There you go.
Take your choice.
Here's the payoff. We talked about the reward. Oh, sorry. Last time, Jesus is going to kind of sum it up. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Do good to them. Lend to them. Here's the payoff. He says, then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Jesus' goal for us, a lot of us say, like, I want to follow Jesus. A lot of us don't ever ask, like, where is Jesus going? We're like, I want to follow him, and I want Jesus to give me a good house and a good marriage and kids that go off to college and always take care of me when I'm old. I want Jesus. Jesus is heading in a very particular direction. Jesus is driving as many people as will go with them to heaven. And the great thing about heaven, the thing that makes heaven the kingdom of heaven, is that everything in heaven does what God wants it to do. Everything in heaven reflects God and is submissive to God. All of us want to get to heaven, but a lot of us don't want to be the type of people that are in heaven, you know? The type of people that are in heaven, like, are little mini reflections of God. They have the love and the joy and the mercy that God has. They have the self-control that God has. If we want to become God's children, yes, it is about praying a prayer and saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I believe what you did for me. But the way Jesus then starts to work on us is by loving our enemies. When we love our enemies, we can't help but be changed to be more like Jesus. Jesus finally says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. I mean, that's where we can all start today, is say, Jesus has forgiven me of a lot. What if I forgave somebody else that same way? So we didn't want to leave today with this really up in the clouds, let's be loving to all our enemies. We wanted to get practical. And so we've got two kind of ideas for you today. You can come up with your own too, though. These are not the only ways to love your enemies. But Bob, right off the bat, somebody talks sideways to us tomorrow, and we get this feeling of like, what did you just say to me? What do we do?
Yeah. I have a friend who is probably the most significant person in Kansas City, bringing about and promoting race relations. He's downright amazing. Worked very, very hard at it. His commitment is this. He refuses to be offended. And so he said, I refuse in every instance to be offended. And if we made that the desire of our heart and we said, you know, God, I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to let little petty things to the big things cause me to get offended. And you obviously have to work very hard at that. That will make all the difference in the world in your moving towards being what we're talking about here. Okay? And what God will do as you do that, he'll begin working in your heart and making you more like Christ.
Next one I'm going to talk about today is kind of a weird one. It's about talking behind people's back. And normally we talk about how terrible that is and how you shouldn't do that. But that would be my assignment that I would give to you guys if you want to love your enemies, is pick out that person who you really have, they're opposed to you in some way, they said something bad to you at work, they make you look dumb, They push your buttons in a certain way. What if this week you prayed about him and you said, Jesus, I want to say something nice about that person to other people? And don't be dishonest, but maybe there's a guy at work who's always showing up late, but he's always making you look dumb in front of the boss. And maybe next time, instead of like pointing out the time cards or something to your boss, what if you did mention what a good job he did last Tuesday on whatever job it was that he was working on? What if you brought up to the boss or to somebody else a good trait about that person that you really don't like at all? Again, I'm not saying be dishonest, but I'm saying it's a big deal when other people say good things about you when you're not around. When they point out things about you when you're not around, that is sometimes better than a real compliment face to face. Things do get back to people, and when they know that you've spoken highly of them to other people, that's a way to show love. So what if this week you made it your mission to pick out an enemy and you said, I'm going to say nice things about them when they're not around. Every single day at work, or every day when I'm around this big family, or every day when I'm with the rest of the guys at Maple House, or whatever it is. I'm going to speak highly of somebody that I have a hard time with. I'm going to point out something good about them. So Bob and I gave just two very specific examples. If you want to bake somebody cookies, if you want to go help somebody move, you can come up with 1,000 different ways to do something good. It starts with praying and saying, Jesus, who's the enemy you want me to do good to this week? And so every service we end with a benediction, we end with some sort of blessing. Today's kind of a strange one. I'm going to pray that Jesus would show you who's the enemy in your life that he wants you to work on. I think a lot of us, we don't never get that far. We never even admit that we have an enemy. And so we don't get very far on doing it. So today, figure out that enemy. Tomorrow, figure out some way to do something good for them. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you loved us first, that you gave mercy to us when we didn't deserve it. Jesus, that you did good to us when we were your enemy. So Jesus, I pray today you would show each one of us who is one enemy in our life that you want us to love this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.